Welcome to the Motor City Sports Rundown. We have a massive show lined up today, diving into some of the most critical off-season decisions facing our local teams. That's right, the Detroit Pistons are staring down a massive financial commitment with Jalen Duren's restricted free agency, and the numbers being reported are staggering. It is a defining moment for this front office. We are also heading over to Ann Arbor to examine the start of the Kyle Whittingham era. He has officially taken the reins of Michigan football and is already laying out a specific vision for quarterback Bryce Underwood. Plus, we will hit on the Pistons' strategy for the number 21 pick in the upcoming NBA draft and look at a couple of under-the-radar wide receiver signings by the Detroit Lions. There is a lot of ground to cover, so let's get right into the biggest story of the day. The Detroit Pistons are facing a high-stakes offseason decision regarding restricted free agent center Jalen Duren. According to recent reports, Duren could command a contract in the range of 5 years and $200 million. That breaks down to roughly $40 million annually. $40 million a year for a 22-year-old center is a massive commitment, especially when you look at the current landscape of the NBA salary cap. But the Pistons might not have the luxury of negotiating that number down. Rival teams, specifically the Brooklyn Nets and the Chicago Bulls, are reportedly prepared to extend lucrative offer sheets if Detroit hesitates. That is the danger of restricted free agency. If the Nets or Bulls put a max offer sheet on the table, the Pistons have a very short window to match it or let them walk for nothing. And looking at Duren's regular season, you can see why teams are willing to pay up. He just had a breakout 2025-26 campaign, earning All-Star and All-NBA third-team honors. His regular season numbers were undeniably elite. Averaging 19.5 points and 10.5 rebounds per game puts him in the upper echelon of big men. He was a foundational piece of a team that won 60 games and secured the number one seed in the Eastern Conference. But the conversation gets complicated when you look at what happened in the postseason. Duren faced significant criticism for a perceived decline in performance during the playoffs, which ultimately ended in a second-round exit for Detroit. That playoff drop-off is exactly why there is hesitation. The regular season is one thing, but in the playoffs, opposing coaches game plan specifically to exploit your weaknesses. Critics argue that Duren struggled with defensive rotations against spread offenses and wasn't able to dominate the glass the way he did from October to April. The question the front office has to answer is whether that playoff struggle is a sign of long-term limitations or just a temporary hurdle for a young player. You have to remember, he is only 22. Big men often take longer to fully develop their defensive awareness. I tend to lean toward it being a developmental hurdle. You don't accidentally average nearly 20 and 11 and make an all-NBA third team. The physical tools are there. But when you are talking about committing $200 million, you are paying for playoff production. You are paying for a guy who can be the second or third best player on a championship team. And that brings us back to the leverage the Nets and Bulls hold. Brooklyn is in a position where they need a young franchise cornerstone. Chicago is looking to retool. Both teams have the cap space to make things very uncomfortable for Detroit. If they structure an offer sheet creatively, maybe front-loading it, they can force the Pistons into a tough financial corner.
Exactly. And what is Detroit's plan B if they decide not to match? You cannot easily replace 19 points and 10 rebounds. If you let him walk, you are suddenly taking a massive step backward after a 60-win season. You would have a glaring hole in the middle of your defense, and your rebounding would plummet.
It feels like the Pistons are almost obligated to match any offer, even if it makes them uncomfortable. They have built this core around Cade Cunningham, and Duren has been a massive part of that timeline. Letting him walk would send a terrible message to the locker room and the fan base.
I agree they will likely match, but it puts immense pressure on head coach J.B. Bickerstaff to develop Duren's playoff viability. If he is making $40 million a year, he cannot be played off the floor in the second round. He has to become a more versatile defender on the perimeter and a more consistent rim protector.
The coming weeks will be fascinating. Detroit's front office will probably try to negotiate a deal slightly below the max before free agency officially opens, but if Duren's camp knows the Nets and Bulls are waiting, they have absolutely no incentive to take a discount.
Let's pivot to college football, where a new era is officially underway in Ann Arbor. Following the departure of Sharon Moore, Michigan hired Kyle Whittingham as the 22nd head coach in program history back on December 26, 2025. It was a massive hire. Whittingham brings incredible stability after a 21-year tenure at Utah. But the biggest storyline surrounding his arrival is how he plans to utilize sophomore quarterback Bryce Underwood. Underwood, a former number one overall recruit, came into his freshman year with sky-high expectations. His 2025 campaign ended with 2,428 passing yards, 11 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, and 392 rushing yards. It was a season of flashes, but also inconsistency.
Those numbers tell the story of a true freshman trying to navigate Big Ten defenses. The 9 interceptions show a player still learning how to process coverages at the college level, but the nearly 400 rushing yards highlight the raw athletic ability that made him the top recruit in the country.
Whittingham is not shying away from those expectations. He recently came out and said, quote, "We will play to Bryce's skill set. There is no doubt about it. He is a dual threat, without a doubt." He also praised Underwood as one of the team's best leaders.
That leadership comment is crucial. When a new head coach comes in, especially one bringing a new offensive coordinator like Jason Beck, you need your quarterback to buy in immediately. If Underwood is leading the charge in the locker room, that makes the transition significantly smoother for the entire offense. The addition of Jason Beck as offensive coordinator is fascinating. We know Whittingham's teams at Utah were built on physical running games and stout defense. But integrating a true dual-threat scheme tailored specifically to Underwood's profile represents a slight shift in philosophy. It is a necessary shift. You cannot have a generational athlete like Underwood and run a traditional pro-style offense that keeps him confined to the pocket. Expect to see a lot more designed quarterback runs, read options, and run-pass options to simplify his reads and get him into open space. So, looking at his sophomore season, what are the realistic benchmarks for success? There has been some skepticism from media figures regarding his development as a pure passer. The first benchmark has to be ball security. He needs to cut those 9 interceptions down to 4 or 5. The decision-making has to improve. Secondly, I want to see his completion percentage rise on intermediate throws. If Beck's system can give him cleaner pre-snap reads, we should see that touchdown number jump from 11 to at least 20. And on the ground, if they are truly playing to his dual threat skill set, I would expect those 392 rushing yards to double. If he is rushing for 600 or 700 yards, it forces opposing linebackers to spy him, which instantly opens up the passing lanes that were clogged during his freshman year.
Exactly. It is all connected. The threat of his legs will make him a better passer. Whittingham knows how to manage a game and lean on his defense, which means Underwood won't be asked to throw the ball 40 times a game to win shootouts. He just needs to be efficient, protect the football, and use his athleticism on third downs.
All right, let's hit a few more stories real quick before we wrap things up.
Sounds good. We've got some draft talk and some roster moves to get to.
Looking at the upcoming 2026 NBA draft, the Pistons hold the number 21 overall pick. After finishing with a 60-22 record and the top seed in the East, this is their first time drafting in the bottom half of the first round since 2019. Common targets linked to them are Baylor's Cameron Carr and Texas Tech's Christian Anderson. They desperately need perimeter shooting, which Anderson provides, but his size is a defensive liability. Honestly, given Cade Cunningham's championship window, I wouldn't be surprised if they trade this pick entirely to acquire a proven veteran who can contribute immediately.
Over in Allen Park, the Lions signed wide receivers Maurice Alexander and Caden Davis on June 16th. Both players are coming off a championship run with the UFL's Birmingham Stallions. Alexander actually spent time with the Lions back in 2023.
It is a smart move by the front office to scout the spring leagues for game-ready depth. Alexander's familiarity with the building and his experience as a return specialist give him a legitimate shot to fight for one of the final spots on the 53-man roster.
That is going to do it for today's episode of the Motor City Sports Rundown. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. We will be back next time to break down all the latest news across the Detroit sports landscape.
Thank you.